The good news of God's love according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, on that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. We have four gospels, four sources of information about the life and ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus. The gospels were not written to convert people to the Christian faith. The four gospels were written for four different faith communities that were facing different challenges and had different needs. The place where our Gospels differ from each other the most is in their accounts of what happened on and after Easter Day. They were written a generation after the resurrection of Jesus, and the faith communities for which they were written needed different ways of understanding how the resurrection of Jesus now influenced them in their day-to-day lives. That's why the story of Thomas is only found in the Gospel of John. This story of two disciples on the road to Emmaus only appears in the Gospel of Luke, after it tells us that a group of women went to the tomb early in the morning and discovered that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance and the tomb was empty. Two angels then appeared and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. This gospel does not say that the women then met and spoke with Jesus. All it says is that they reported to the male disciples what they had seen at the tomb and what they had been told by the angels, and that the men didn't believe them. Rejecting their story as idle talk. In this gospel, in the Gospel of Luke, the first people to meet and have conversation with Jesus after his resurrection are these two disciples on a road leading out of Jerusalem. When they run back with news of their dramatic encounter, they learn that Peter has also had a face-to-face meeting with the man he had three times denied knowing. And only then, which we don't hear today, but the next thing that happens in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus appears to the 11 and their companions who have gathered together. The Easter stories in the Gospel of Luke were written for a fractured and scattered faith community, one that had been damaged by distrust and betrayal, that is then brought back together and healed by Jesus. Unlike the Gospels, who say that the crucifixion was only witnessed by the women who had followed Jesus, Luke says that all of his acquaintances, including the women, stood at a distance watching these things. All of his followers watched him die and watched their dreams die with him. Idle talk of angels and empty tombs wasn't going to help their devastated hearts. Two of them couldn't wait to get as far away as they could from all of the horrors of the holy city. We should think of these two disciples on the road as refugees, as people driven into exile by their trauma. When Jesus meets them in their despair and reminds them of their sacred scriptures, maybe he uses words from the prophet Isaiah, like the ones we heard today. Words written for the people of Judah after their nation has been conquered, their king carried away in chains, and their temple, where they believe God lives, completely destroyed. Without their nation, their king, or their religion, who are they? The prophet reminds them that they are the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, and that God still has plans for them. Yes, they are now homeless, just like Abraham and Sarah were homeless. They have no physical security, just as Abraham and Sarah had no security. And just as God blessed Abraham and Sarah and made them the parents of more people than there are stars in the sky, God will continue to bless their descendants in miraculous ways. The Babylonians had reduced Jerusalem to a wasteland. God will restore it to be like the Garden of Eden. Jerusalem will once again be a light to the nations. From it will come teaching that can lead to God, people of all nations and cultures throughout the world. When Isaiah's promise did not immediately come true in Old Testament times, It was then understood to be a prediction of what the world would be like when the promised Messiah came. Maybe Jesus used the words of Isaiah to remind these disciples that while God never desires suffering for us, God can and will use the suffering inflicted on us by life and turn it into good. Because God's power to save is eternal. God's power to deliver never ends. And because of that, as Psalm 34 teaches, we are to bless the Lord at all times, and not just when things are going well. God's praise should always be in our mouth, even when it seems there's nothing to be joyful about. We are to look back on Abraham and Sarah. We are to look back on the times when God was there for us, and we are to remind one another that God can and will do it again. The author of the psalm celebrates how God rescued them in the past, and they tell their faith community to call upon God now. I sought the Lord, so all of you should look upon the Lord. I called in my affliction, so taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus meets two people traumatized by suffering to tell them their suffering has meaning and purpose. He interprets the scriptures for two people of faith who never should have exiled themselves from their community. In the world, exile is often the only way to survive. But things are different in the kingdom of God. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are now part of the household of God. We always have a community, a place of refuge and safety. We aren't forced into exile and isolation, but as the citizens of heaven living in a corrupt and broken world, we are to embrace a spirit of exile by staying faithful to the values of our heavenly home. We are to be guided by our fear of God, which means with respect for God's values. The blood of Jesus, more precious than silver or gold, has rescued us and liberated us from the world's fear and hatred and violence, so that we are able to love one another deeply and create a community that is grounded in love. And whenever we need to be reminded of this, Jesus makes himself known to us as we gather together around God's table in the breaking of bread.